Hey, good night, everybody. Good morning. Today's daf is Beis Daf Chav Vav. We are holding on Daf Chav Hey Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Daf Chav Hey Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and is also sponsored by Eitan Gavrin, L'zchus Refuah Shleima, for his father, Barry Gavrin, Baruch Ben Miriam, who's in the ICU in critical condition. He should have a Refuah Shleima, B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to discuss is about being matire b'chor on Yom Tov. The halacha is that a b'chor is aser until if you have a b'chor b'ema ta'ora, you're not allowed to eat it and benefit from it in a normal way unless it has a mum kavua, but you need someone to paskin on the mum kavua. So you're allowed to paskin on that mum kavua on Yom Tov. So that's what the Mishnah is going to discuss and the Gemara is going to discuss in much greater detail. At the end of Amud Aleph, we're going to have a brisa that has three rules, three klalim, and the Gemara is going to try to figure out what the third of those three klalim really means. Is it telling us a din lechatchila or a din b'diavad? And then about halfway through Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to move on to the sugya of muktzah lechatzi Shabbos. What the sugya of muktzah lechatzi Shabbos means is that we know that there's a rule of kivin diskatzay le ben hashmashos diskatzay lekulei yoma, that if something was muktzah ben hashmashos, no matter what conditions change over the course of Shabbos, it remains muktzah throughout the rest of the day. But what happens if when Shabbos started it wasn't muktzah, but then it became muktzah in middle of Shabbos, and then its status became undone. Something changed back again. So do we assume, is migo diskatzai that since it was muktzah ben hashmashos, that means it's going to be muktzah the rest of Shabbos? Or no, maybe it means since it was muktzah at any point on Shabbos, it's therefore going to be muktzah for the rest of Shabbos. Even if it wasn't muktzah at the very beginning, but at some point on Shabbos it was muktzah, does that necessarily mean it's going to be muktzah for the rest of Shabbos? And there are going to be the Gemara is going to bring three rayas in that discussion. So that's the sugya of muktzah lechatzi Shabbos. So let's begin with the Mishnah on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to discuss the din of being matir b'char on Yom Tov. So a little bit of background is necessary over here. B'char behema tahora, a firstborn of a kosher animal, is one of the 24 matnos kuhuna. You give it to a kohen, and it's kadosh. It has kedusha of kachim kalim. So as soon as it's born, that kedusha is there. It's not something that you have to confer upon the Bukhar. It's automatic. It's the firstborn. It's a pet arechem. It has kedusha of katsum kalim. But nevertheless, even though it's automatic, we have a mitzvah lahakdisho. That shouldn't be so unusual to us. You know what else is automatic? Kedusha Shabbos is automatic. Whether you declare it or not, it's Shabbos. Yet, we have a mitzvah lahakdisho. Sometimes you have something that has automatic kedusha, and still we have a mitzvah to declare it kadosh. So, we have to declare the Bechor Kadosh. So when the Beis HaMikdash was around, you'd give it to the Kohen, and the Kohen would shacht it in the Azara, they'd be Zorek the Dam, they'd be Makted the Amurim on the Mizvech, who's a real Karban, and then the meat was eaten by the Kohanim in Yerushalayim, like any other Kachim Kalim that you're allowed to eat, that the Kohanim are allowed to eat the meat throughout all of Yerushalayim. A Bechor that's Nolad Bizman Hazeh also has Kedusha, we just don't have the solution. We're just not able to bring it as a Karban, but it does have that same Kedusha. Problem is, we can't bring it on the Mizbech. So therefore, Kol Zman, that it doesn't have a mum, and it's ra'ui to be brought on the Mizbech, we can't do anything with it. We can't shecht it at all, because it would be like shechting kachim b'chutz. It would be chayv kares for shechting a b'char if it doesn't have a mum. But if it has, if it develops a mum kavua, it can't be a mum over, it has to be a mum kavua, then the halacha is, it still belongs to the Kohen, but he's allowed to just shecht it like a normal animal and eat it like a normal animal, the behema becomes chulin, which means not only is he allowed to eat it, he could share it with me, he could share it with the Yisrael, he can give it to an achri, whatever, but it belongs to him, it's his money, it's the mamono shel kohen bizman hazeh. What do we do, Agav? What do we do nowadays if you have a Jewish farmer and he's bound to have b'char behema ta'ora at some point that's born? So what we do is like a mechiras chametz. He sells the mother before the behema mevakeres, the mother before it gives birth, he sells to a guy, and if a b'char behema Torah is born into a non-Jew's ownership, it does not have any kedusha. So we avoid the whole problem. We never have kedusha if you have a religious farmer. There are rabbanim in the Midwest that deal with this. Rav Shachter said he got a call from a rabbi in the Midwest once that asked him, "What do I do? There's a balabas. Told me he's a farmer. He's got to sell a bechar. How do I do it?" He said, "Oh, it's just like you do mechiras chametz. You've been a rabbi for 30 years. Same thing that you do for mechiras chametz." He said, "And how taka do you do mechiras chametz? What have you done for the last 30 years?" But so So you do a mechira, and that way you solve the problem. Now a bechor that develops a mum, even if it's a mum shebegalui, and everyone realizes that it's a mum, it's not something that you need any expertise. It's missing a leg, right? Meaning everyone realizes that's a mum. You're still not allowed to shecht it unless a chacham mumcha paskins on it that it's a mum kavua. Only then are you allowed to shecht it. If you don't have a chacham mumcha, then we rely on shlosha hadyotos. Then three people who are what the Mishnah calls Maseches Bechoros, shlosha b'nei haknesses, three people who are not such bekiyim, but they're chachamim k'tzas, they're allowed to paskin. That's the sheet of the Tanakhama, that's what we paskin. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says that no, only a yachid mumcha is able to paskin on it. But if they shechted, and then they showed the mum to the chacham after they shechted, so that's machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Meir, what the halach is. Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, it has a mum. So you shouldn't have shechted it before you knew that, but now that you know it, it's mutar b'achila. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, no, you shechted it shalal pi mumcha, so that's aser, so you have to bury it. You can't benefit from it whatsoever. So our Mishnah is going to discuss, and our entire sugya is going to discuss the following shayla. Can a chacham look at an animal on Yom Tov to determine whether it has a mum in order to be matir, the bechor, for shechita? Meaning, you want to eat this animal, you want to shech the animal needed on Yom Tov. The only thing is, you haven't shown it to a chacham yet to determine whether the mum that it has is a mum kavua. Are you allowed to do that on Yom Tov? There are two potential issues with doing that on Yom Tov. One potential issue is an isra of muksa, because kol zman that it didn't have a mum, so you had no thought of being able to use it. And if it only develops a mum on Yom Tov, so then maybe it's a problem of muksa. Now, that might be different in a case where it developed the mum before Yom Tov, you just haven't had a chance to show it to the chacham yet. Because if it developed the mum before Yom Tov, you might have already thought to yourself, oh, this is going to be okay. I just need to find the chacham in time to paskin this shayla. So maybe the muksa issue wouldn't be such an issue. But in that case, you would have a second issue. The second issue with showing it to a chacham on Yom Tov is an isra of tikkun mana, that it's nira kimesakin. Here was an animal that was aser, and until the chacham paskined on it, it remained aser. So it could be that paskining on it itself is misakin, and is maybe some sort of isra midrabanan to do on Yom Tov. So with that background, says the Mishnah, b'chor shenof al-bar. You have a bechor behema bizman hazeh, where you're not going to be able to shecht it as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. You need a mum. You need a mum kavua. So it falls into a bar on Yom Tov. And the Mishnah is talking about a case where it already had a mum from before Yom Tov. You just hadn't had a chance to show it to a chacham yet, because you just hadn't had a chance to show it to a chacham. And now it falls into a bar, and you're afraid it might die in the bar. So you're not allowed to take it out of the bar, because maybe it's because it's not l'tzorach achila if you're not allowed to eat it yet. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, yerid mum chaviyira. Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem. We are allowed to examine a mum on Yom Tov. So let the chacham go down into the bar. Let him examine the mum in the bar. See that if the mum that was there from yesterday, im yeshbo mum, if it, that mum that it had from yesterday is a mum kavua, yalav yishchot. Now it's an animal that you're allowed to eat. So bring it out of the bar and go and shecht it, even though the chacham was only matirid on Yom Tov, so but it's still not going to be considered muktza, because the mum that the chacham was looking at was a mum that was there from before Yom Tov, and therefore already in your mind you had the possibility, you had the thought that you might be allowed to eat this animal on Yom Tov, so it's not going to be a problem of muktza. V'im lav, but if the mum that it had from before Yom Tov was not a mum kavua, then lo yishchot, then you're not allowed to shecht it, even if when it fell into the bar on Yom Tov, it developed a new mum, and that's a mum kavua, because that mum was not something that it had from before Yom Tov, and that therefore is going to be a problem, because it's a din of muktza machmas iser, because now you know that the mum that it had the previous day was a mum over and was not a mum kavua, and would not have permitted shechting it ben hashmashos. So now that it developed a mum kavua, it's still maintains that status of muksa until Motzai Yom Tov. So since it's aser to shecht, you can't take it out of the bar because it's a tircha shalol letzorich. You're not allowed to schlep the animal out of the bar for no Yom Tov reason. But Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol she'ein mumo nikam ribod yom, ein zeh minamuchan. Anytime the mum was not pre-examined by a Chacham from before Yom Tov, the Chacham had not already checked it out before Yom Tov, then that's not considered Muchan, you're not allowed to use it on Yom Tov. Because Rabbi Shimon holds, you're not allowed to even examine Mumin on Yom Tov, because of the second issue we mentioned before. Forget about Muktzah, it's near Kimisakein, that the Chacham is going to be Misakein the animal. So that's why the Psak of the Chacham has to come before Yom Tov, because the Chacham is not allowed to Paskin on it on Yom Tov. If the Chacham does Paskin on it on Yom Tov, then you're not allowed to Shecht it on Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon takes a hard stance on this, that he's not allowed to Paskin on Yom Tov, and even if he does, it's not going to be Matir. So now says Gemara, B'maika Miflugi, what are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon arguing about in the Mishnah? One thing for sure, it can't be that they're arguing about the issue of Muktzah, that we're talking about a case where the Mum happened on Yom Tov, and maybe we should Asrit Mishum Muktzah, because you didn't intend to use it before Yom Tov, and the Machlokas is whether we hold of Muktzah or not. Because then it would turn out that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Muktzah, and Rabbi Shimon does hold of Muktzah. I mean, if they were arguing on the inyan of Muktzah, the opinions would be reversed, meaning it would be that Rabbi Yehuda would say, meaning our Mishnah is telling us that Rabbi Yehuda is the Rabbi Yehuda is the Mekel over here, and Rabbi Shimon is the Machmir. But we know that the opposite is true in terms of their attitude toward Muktzah. So it must be that we're talking about a Mum that was already there from before Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you just want to examine the Mum to see if it's a Mum Kavur or not. So Inema Bero in Mum and Kamiflgi, maybe they're arguing whether a Kohen is allowed to look at a Mum and Paskin Mum on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Sover Ro in Mum and Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to Paskin a Mum on Yom Tov, and therefore let the Mumcha go down and look at the Mum and Paskin it. Rabbi Shimon Sover Ein Ro in Mum and Yom Tov. No, nothing about Muktzah. This is about Tikkun Mana. Rabbi Shimon holds you're allowed to Paskin a Mum on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda holds you're not allowed to Paskin the other way around. Rabbi Yehuda holds you're allowed to Paskin a Mum on Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon holds you're not allowed to Paskin a Mum on Yom Tov. But says the Gemara, what do you need the bar for? Just v'livel guberon mum and di'alma. Why do you have to complicate the case so much? Just say that you have a bechor that has a mum that was there from Erev Yom Tov, yeah, and you want a chacham to basket on it. Why do you have to talk about a case that fell into a bar and you can't shecht it unless you bring it out of the bar? Why do you have to complicate things if they're just arguing about a basic issue of whether a chacham is allowed to paskin on a mum on Yom Tov? So answers the Gemara, the Machlokas really is about any bechor that develops a mum from Erev Yom Tov, even if it's not in a bar. Bechor shenafal bar is srichale, but Rabbi Yehuda wants to tell me a case of bechor shenafal bar, because if we would have been talking about a regular bechor, salka daitachamina mishum sarba lechayim lari veliske, I might have thought that, you know, it's true, Rabbi Yehuda will tell you that you're not allowed, that you're allowed to paskin on a, that a bechor that falls into, that you're allowed to paskin on a regular mum that happens, but a bechor that falls into a bar, mishum tsarba lechayim, because the animal's going to be suffering in the bar, then maybe you could do a harama and get it out of the bar. Meaning, maybe you can say, you know, chances are it fell into a bar. Chances are it has a mum kavua. So let me get it out of that bar. I'll smach that it has a mum kavua. I'll take it out of that bar even before a chacham checks it. And then after it comes out of the bar, I'll show it to a chacham and to be matir the shechita. So could Rabbi Yeshua, and that's like Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua holds, we're going to get to it in like 10 days from now, that you're allowed to take a behema out of a bar on Yom Tov by doing a harama for the sake of Tzar Balei Chayim. Meaning the case is of Rabbi Yeshua is you have a bechor, you have a behema and its offspring that fall into a bar on Yom Tov. Problem is, you're not allowed to shecht osav espino on Yom Echad. You're not allowed to shecht osav espino. You're not allowed to shecht the behema and its offspring on the same day. So in this is daraisa to shecht it on the same day. So how you can get them both out of the bar on Yom Tov? You can't argue that I need them both for my Yom Tov meal. I'm not allowed to shecht them both on Yom Tov. So Rabbi Yeshua holds that you're allowed to do the following harama. You're allowed to say, let me get one out of the bar because I want to eat that for lunch. So you pull it out of the bar, then you say, you know what, this looks like a decent animal, but maybe the one down there that's still down in the bar is a better animal. Maybe that one tastes better. It's more delicious meat. So I'm going to pull that one out of the bar now, and then you'll pick whichever one you want, and you'll eat it. But at the time that you're pulling each one out, it's a possibility that that's going to be your Sudas Yom Tov. So you're allowed to do such a harama with the Yisra of Osav Espinol Sishchatu beyond. So I might have thought that we should say the same thing about a bechor that falls into a bar, that I'm allowed to say, okay, let me get it out, and then afterwards we'll paskin on it. So kamash milan, that's where Rabbi Yehuda tells me a chiddush, that you're not allowed to do such a harama to get it out of the bar. The mumcha's got to go down into the bar, no pulling it out until you know that it has a mum. Why is it not the same as Rabbi Yehuda? Yeshua, meaning are we rejecting Rabbi Yeshua, or are we saying that no, there's a chilik between the cases? So Pashtus is that there's a chilik between the cases, that in the case of Rabbi Yeshua, the harama is not so nicker, because each animal is ra'ui l'shchita, so you're doing it l'tzorach yom tov. But over here, if the mum is not a mum kavua, it may turn out that there's nothing, that you have nothing that you're able to use, so it's not ra'ui l'shchita whatsoever. Of course, you know, the Rosh Yosef points out that there's a kula over here also, because it could be that it is a mum kavua and savik drabban l'kula, as opposed to over there, it's a vadei tareach shalol l'tzorach, meaning you're certainly doing one of them shalol l'tzorach, but that's not enough of a consideration to paskin, because even though savik drabbanan, we paskin even though savik drabban l'kula, when it's ikal of rurei bekal mevarinan, whenever you're able to be mevar bekal, you should do that. So it is able to be mevar bekal. Send the mumcha down into the bar instead of pulling the animal out of the bar. So again, the basic machlokas of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah is just simply, are you allowed to paskin on a mum on Yom Tov? Why did they talk about a case of nafal bar? Because Rabbi Yehuda wants to tell me that not only are you allowed to paskin on a mum, but a chumrah, you have to go and paskin on the mum before you pull the animal out. You can't pull the animal out al smach that you're going to paskin later. So that's the only reason they said the Mishnah set up the case as an animal falling into a bar. So now says Mar Yehachi, if that's the case, the by nafal bar, the whole case of nafal bar is just to teach me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to do a harama to get the animal out of the bar. So why does he then say v'imlav lo yishchot? He says that if there's no mum, if the mum that is not a mum kavua, then you're not allowed to, then you're not allowed to shecht it. That's pshita. That's obviously not allowed to shecht it. That's not a chiddush. Lo yalav yishchot mi bayle. He should have said that if there's no mum kavua, you're not allowed to be mala. Why does he say lo yishchot? Of course you're not allowed to shecht it. So v'imlav, what it should have said is that if the mumcha is not able to go down into the bar, or you're not able to see it, the mumcha is not able to see the mum in the bar, lo yale, don't do any harama to take the thing out of the bar, because that's the real chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda according to the way we're understanding it right now. So says Gemara, you know what? Really, Rabbi Yehuda holds that bechor that is nafal the bar, it is telling me the chiddush that you can't do a harama, but he's telling me this already in the first line. Yerid mumcha v'yira, that you don't take it out. You have to know bivadai first that it's a mum kavua. You can't take it out with a harama. Only when you know it's a mum kavua can you take it out. When he says v'imlav lo yishchot, he's telling me another din that's also related to a bechor shenaf al abar. And the Gemara explains what that din is. Lo tzricha do'avar v'aske. The chiddush when he says v'imlav lo yishchot is telling me that if the kohen violated the halacha, took the bechor out of the bar before showing it to a chacham, and then they find that it does not have a mum at all, salka daita chamina, I might have thought lishchate, that they can shecht it, kamash malan. That's what Rabbi Yehuda tells me, no, if you pulled it out of the bar baharama and it turns out that it doesn't have a mum, you're not allowed to shecht it. So says Gemara, why would you think you're allowed to shecht it if it doesn't have a mum? You're never allowed to shecht it if it doesn't have a mum. Lishchate hatamhu, it's a tam, of course you can't shecht it. No, lo tzricha denafal be muma. No, the case is, you didn't send the chacham down into the bar. You pulled it out anyway. Against the halacha, you're not allowed to do it. You pulled it out anyway. Then it turned out that it developed a mum kavua after you pulled it out of the bar. So, or maybe when it fell into the bar, it developed a mum kavua. And the chiddush is that even though the bechor right now has a mum kavua, so it's chulin, nevertheless, you're not allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov because it's nisr muktza. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that if it has a mum kavua from Erev Yom Tov, then yalav yishchot. You could take it out. But if you took it out and it didn't have a mum kavua in Erev Yom Tov, when it fell into the bar, it developed a mum kavua, or somehow later it developed a mum kavua, that's no good, because that's an issue of muktza. So yes, Rabbi Yehuda's makel that you're allowed to paskin on a mum on Yom Tov, but he's not makel on the issue of muktza. If there was no mum there when Yom Tov started, then the animal's going to be muktza. So says Gemara, that's also obvious. V'muktzahu, of course it's muktza. If it didn't have a mum kavua when Yom Tov started, it only developed the mum kavua and fell into the bar. Of course, it's muktza. You didn't have das to be able to use that animal from before Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have to tell me such a chiddush. So says the Gemara, we have to change that answer and say, no, Ella, what's Rabbi Yehuda telling me when he says, Vimlav lo yishchot, is talking about the nafal be mum over me erev Yom Tov. that on Erev Yom Tov it had a mum over, and then on Yom Tov that very mum over that it developed on Erev Yom Tov turned into a mum kavua, meaning it had some sort of injury from Erev Yom Tov that was a mum, and then when it fell into the bar, that injury was exacerbated and it became a mum kavua. So Mao de Tema, I might have thought that that's not mukta, because it's not a brand new mum that came on Yom Tov. Did Daite love it? Because you were already thinking of the possibility of that mum helping you being able to use the animal, the nishchate. So Kamash Malan, therefore Abida tells me, no, if it wasn't already kavua be Erev Yom Tov, then it's still considered to be mukta. The fact that it had a mum that you were thinking, maybe it'll be good enough. And it turned out that mum is good enough, because that mum became a mum kavua on Yom Tov. No, but it wasn't already a mum kavua when Yom Tov started, and therefore Rabbi is telling me, you're not allowed to take it out of the bar. So what's the maskana? What's going on over here? We have a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. Are you allowed to paskin on a mum bechlal on Yom Tov, even if an animal is never in a bar or nothing? Just can you paskin on a mum on Yom Tov? That's machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And then Rabbi Yehuda is telling me two halachas. Not only does Rabbi Yehuda hold that you're allowed to paskin on a mum on Yom Tov, but Rabbi Yehuda is telling me a second halacha, that if an animal had a mum over on Erev Yom Tov, and then on Yom Tov it developed into a mum kavua, and you pulled it out of the bar, you're not allowed to use such an animal. He does hold of the problem of mukta. So Tan Rabban, we have a braisa as follows. Bechor tam shenofel bar. You have a bechor that was not a bal mum, falls into a bar on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rabbi Omer, Yerid mum chavira, yesh bo mum, yalav yishchot, vimlav lo yishchot. He holds exactly like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. You're allowed to paskin on mum and on Yom Tov, and therefore, send a mumcha down, let him see if there's a mum kavua, even if the mum kavua only happened on Yom Tov, yalav yishchot. That part he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda about. I shouldn't have said exactly. Meaning, again, there are two issues up here. There's the issue, are you allowed to paskin on a mum? And then there's the issue of, is it a muktza problem? As far as, are you allowed to paskin on a mum, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, saying exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. Yes, you're allowed to paskin on a mum. Send the chacham down, let him paskin on the mum. But as far as the mukta issue, he's in disagreement with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said that there is a mukta issue, that if it wasn't a mum kavua when Yom Tov started, forget it, this animal's out of bounds, you're not going to be allowed to use this animal. But comes along Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and he says that a bechor tam is not mukta, because you're always thinking it might develop a mum at any moment. So you never are really maktsa midaito. You're always thinking there's a chance it might develop, might have an injury, and if it does, then I'll be able to use it. But if the Chacham doesn't paskin on it, then you're not allowed to take it out of the bar. So Amalei Rabbi Shimon ben Manasi, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasi says, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Harei Amru, meaning Rabbi Shimon, in our Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, Ein Ron Mum B'Yom Tov, that you don't even get to square one, you're not even allowed to paskin on a mum at all on Yom Tov, and we should follow the more machmir opinion of Rabbi Shimon against Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Shimon ben Manasi explains the klal of Rabbi Shimon, that you're not allowed to paskin on Yom Tov, and he points out that there are really three cases that each have separate halachas. So ketzat. So here are the three cases. Again, this is within Shitas Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, that you're not even allowed to paskin a mum on Yom Tov, because it's a tikkun mana, it's nira kimisakin. So three cases. Number one, nolad bo mum may erev Yom Tov, ein mevakrin also be Yom Tov. If a mum developed on the animal before Yom Tov, but you didn't have a chance for a chacham to see it, you're not allowed to examine it on Yom Tov. Now that is only a din l'chachila. If you did examine it on Yom Tov, then you can shecht it, because that's not considered such a tikkun to asur it even b'diavad, because it was almost already mesukan ben hashmashos. So you saw that it had a mum, you just hadn't gotten through the technicality of having the chacham paskin on it. So that's a din l'chachila, that you're not allowed to paskin. But if you did, if you had someone examine it, then it's going to be mutter. Case number two, nolad b'mum, it didn't have a mum on Erev Yom Tov, but nolad b'mum bi Yom Tov, it develops a mum on Yom Tov. Then Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein zemen amuchen. That's going to be mukta, and not only the chadchila are you not allowed to look at the mum, even if a chacham looks at the mum and says it's a mum kavoy, he still can't shacht it, because since that mum only developed on Yom Tov, and it wasn't ra'ui at all on Erev Yom Tov, that's nira kimisakein, it's a real tikkun that really looks like a tikkun, and that's going to be asr. So that's asr even b'diavad. Vishavid, and then Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, who disagree in our Mishnah whether you're allowed to paskin Kinnon Mumin on Yom Tov will both agree to the issue of Muktzah. Will both agree to the following: She'im Nolad Hu Umumo Imo. That if, let's say, the animal didn't have a mum that developed after it was born, the animal was born on Yom Tov with a mum kavua on it. Even Rabbi Shimon is moda shezemin amulchan, that bechor is considered permissible to eat if the chacham is able to determine that it's a mum kavua, and that's not asr mishum nira kemesakein or kedana sadin or anything like that, because that's only by a bechor that was born as a tam and was huchsak beisir, and now you're trying to be matirit to take out to take it out of its cheskas isir. So that's nira kemesakein. But this animal was born this way; it was born with its mum. It never had a cheskas iser, so because b'mei imo was already kadosh with kedushas bechor, and when it had petar rechem imo, it was b'mei imo, it's not kadosh with kedushas bechor. The bechor only has kedusha on its way out, so it never had kedushas bechor. But so when it came out, it was already had a mum on its way out. So since it never had a cheskas iser, a chacham paskening on that thing is not going to be near a kimisakin. So the case where Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda will agree that a Chacham is allowed to paskin, and that it's going to be perfectly fine, even l'chalchila, is if the animal is born together with its mum. So three cases. Case where it develops a mum on Erev Yom Tov, l'chalchila, you're not allowed to, according to Rabbi Shimon, l'chalchila, you're not allowed to paskin on it, but the evidence it works if you do paskin on it. Case number two, a mum that develops on an animal on Yom Tov, Rabbi Shimon says, not only l'chalchila, can't you paskin on it? If you did, it doesn't even work, but the evidence, you're not going to be allowed to eat that animal on Yom Tov. Case number three, there's one case where even Rabbi Shimon holds l'chalchila, you can paskin on it, and that's if it's born together with it's born with the mum on it. So now the Gemara says, let's look at case number three a little bit. This bechor is born with its mum. Is it l'chadchila that you're allowed to really make sure that it's a mum kavua and use it? Darsha barafuna nolad hu umumo imo mevakrin oso biyom tov l'chadchila, that you're allowed to even do l'chadchila. That's what the Brisa means to say, the way we explained it. So Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said to Rav Barafuna, Abba Tani, he says, my father taught the Rashi says he's talking about his own father, meaning Rav Nachman's father, even though we don't find anywhere in Shas that Rav Nachman's father was a Talmud Chacham. But sometimes Abba might just mean Rav, meaning. But over here, Rashi understands it means his father. He said, Abba Tani, my father taught that im avar ubikro, that if the Chacham violated and was mevaker, then mevukar, then it works. But vatam rakno salach. I mean, he says, I learned that even an animal that's born with a mum, you're not allowed to do a l'chadchila. You're not allowed to determine that it's a mum kavilach. It's only a din b'diavad. So Abayi says, I think the first way of learning it makes more sense. Meaning it makes more sense to say that you're mevakarit even l'chadchila, that this is a din l'chadchila. Why does it make more sense? Because the Braisa set up three dinim. And if the three dinim, if any two of those dinim are the same, then it should have been packaged together. The fact that it's split into three cases, one of these cases is asr l'chadchila mutar b'diavad. One of these cases is asr even b'diavad. And one of these cases is mutar even l'chadchila. But if you're going to say that the third case is not mutar even l'chadchila, but it's also asr l'chadchila but mutar b'diavad, then it should have been packaged together with case number one. So midiktani tos above you, from the fact that it says three separate cases, nola b'mumei erev yom tov ein v'aknosa b'yom tov l'chadchila d'lo ha'diavad shapir dami. Case number one was l'chadchila, you're not allowed to check for the mum. Check if it's a mum kavua, but b'diavad, if you did, it works. Case number two, nol b'mum b'yom tov, Rabbi Shimon Omer ein zemin amulchan, dafil d'yavad amilo. Case number two was, if the mum developed on yom tov, you're not allowed to check at all, even b'diavad, it doesn't work. And then, v'hadar tani, case number three, v'shavin shem nol b'mum amul, shezemin amulchan, dafil l'chadchil l'nami. That makes sense, and it's going to tell me a case that even l'chadchila, it's going to be mutter. So, if case number three is only telling me that b'diavad it works, but not l'chadchila, it should have been together with the reisha. We should have said nola b'mum me erev yom tov. Oh, shenolad hu umumo imo. We should put case number one and case number three together. Then you can't be mevakar on Yom Tov. That only l'chadchila, but b'diavad it would work. So it must be that case number three is telling me that no, it's even mutar l'chadchila. So the Gemara says, I don't know if that's such a great raya, because we have a brisa. We have another brisa that says as follows: V'akiyas Rav Hoshaya, when Rav Hoshaya came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, asav aysi masnitz biyade. He brought with him a brisa that says bein shenolad b'mum erev yom tov, bein shenolad That price is following Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that you're not allowed to pask on a mum on Yom Tov, but the Tana, that price holds that if the mum develops on Erev Yom Tov, it has the same halacha as a mum developing on Yom Tov, and it's going to be asr even b'diavad. So since it had a mum from Erev Yom Tov, or since the halachos of a case where it develops a mum from Erev Yom Tov, or it develops from on Yom Tov, are the same, and the Tana puts them together and says, Ein zeh mina muchan, it can't be that according to that price, that if it's born with a mum, that everyone's going to agree that shezem mina muchanu, that chachila, you're not allowed to be mevakrit. Ve'ela kashahach, so says the Gemara, but then you have a problem with the brisa that Rav Shimon ben Manasseh quoted. I mean, we have two brises. We have a brisa Rav Shimon ben Manasseh where Abayi was able to say, look, there are three cases, so each case must be different. And then we have the brisa of Rav Ashaya that the Gemara proved like Rav Nachman, that you're not allowed to be mevakir l'chadchila. So which brisa is the more authoritative brisa? So it says Gemara, hahi, the brisa of Shimon ben Manasseh with the three cases is Ad bar Uchmihi. There's a certain tchacham who's named Ad bar Uchmi. Everyone knew about him. He's the one that taught prices to Mishabish Vitani, and he would always mess up. He'd teach erroneous prices. So you have to always judge how reliable a particular brisa is. A brisa from him is not so reliable, and therefore Rav Ashaya's brisa is the ikur. From the brisa of Rav Ashaya, it's meduik this way. That if the mum is not nikar from Erev Yom Tov, it's not minamuchan. My ein mumo nikar. What does he mean when he says the mum is not nikar? Ilemer shein mumo nikar klal, that it's not nikar at all, meaning it didn't have a mum on Erev Yom Tov. Pshita, then of course the Bukhar is going to be asked. Tzricha lemeimar, you need to say such a thing. Does Rabbi Shimon have to say to Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi Yehuda also holds of a muksa? And even if he holds it, you're allowed to pass a mum on Yom Tov, he's moda that a Bukhar tam, that only developed a mum on Yom Tov, is going to be a problem with muksa. Ella, so it must be that Rabbi Shimon, when he says kol shein mumo nikar, it means that the mum developed on Erev Yom Tov, but the law is chazi l'chacham Erev Yom Tov. You just hadn't showed it to anybody yet. Erev Yom Tov. See, imum kavua, imum over, to determine what kind of mum it is. But katani miyas, but it says, ein zemen amuchan. Sounds like even b'dievet it's no good. So shema mina, you see that the brisa of Rav Ashaya holds that according to Rabbi Shimon, that which you don't see a mum on Yom Tov, even if the mum came on Erev Yom Tov, is the same as a mum developing on Yom Tov, that it's ein zemen amuchan, and it's aser even b'dievet. Period. So that's the end of the discussion of what shitas Rabbi Shimon is. Now we move on to the second sugya, the next sugya, which is the sugya of muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. As we've pointed out, we generally have a rule of kivin diskatzayi l'ben shmashu diskatzayi l'kuliyoma. So our Gemara discusses, our sugya is going to talk about what if something became muksa sometime in middle of Shabbos and then lost that muksa status at a later point. Do we assume that automatically it has to keep the muksa status? Meaning, take grogros etzimokin. You put grapes on top of your roof to dry, so that's the ultimate muktzah. You designate them because they're inedible when they're drying in the sun, so the ultimate muktzah. Let's say you were munching on the grapes when Shabbos started, bein hashmashos, they were perfectly usable, they were not muktzah. Then you put them on the roof on Shabbos morning, and it's a super hot day, and by Shabbos afternoon, they're already fully dried, and they're delicious raisins, sun-made, whatever, raisin. They're delicious, delicious raisins. So do you say, well, it was muktzah all Shabbos morning, so since it was muktzah all Shabbos morning, it remains muktzah the whole day? Or do you say, no, on Friday night it wasn't muktzah, on Friday night I was able to eat them, so maybe they're not muktzah. So bay minei hil mei rava, yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, v'ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. Say, echidami, what's the case? Ida ichsi ben hashmashos, so ichsi, ida lo ichsi, lo ichsi. I don't understand. If they were right to use ben hashmashos, then they're not muktzah. If they were not right to use ben hashmashos, then they are muktzah. So it says, well, no, the case is, as we just described, lo tzricha de ichsi, v'hadar idchi, v'hadar ichsi, mai. The case is, ben hashmashos, they were ra'ui. But then, in sometime middle of Shabbos, something happened that ruined them, that made them not ra'ui l'achila, and then, in the middle of Shabbos, they became ra'ui l'achila again. So now, because of that moment of Shabbos, that they were muktzah, do they remain muktzah for the entirety of Shabbos, for the remainder of Shabbos? Samlei, yesh muktzah. So Rava said to Hillel, there is muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. If it became muktzah at some point, it remains muktzah for the rest of Shabbos. So Gemara says, three ra'is, we'll see how many we get to. Esve, so Hillel asks on Rava, that we learned in our brisa, v'shavin, shim no lad umumo imo, that if a Bukhar is born on Yom Tov with its mum, shezem in amuchan, so that's not muktzah. So v'amai, neima, hai Bukhar may ikara have a chazi agavime. The Bukhar originally, when it was inside the mother's womb, was ra'ui to eat. Did not have kedushas Bukhar yet. Could have shechted the mother and eaten the baby. Is yaladay, once it was born, idchile, now it has kedushas Bukhar, and you have to examine it, and it's going to be asr until you examine it. Ikhazi l'chacham ishtarilay. Then you showed it to a chacham and it became mutter. So isn't this exactly the case? So Amrabai, v'itema, Rav Safra, kigon diyasvi dayani hasam. No, there was never a point in Shabbos where it was usher. The case is that the Chachamim were watching it as the animal was birthing, and they saw as it was coming out, before it was Yotze La'avir Olam, they saw a Mum Kavua. So there was never a moment where it was usher. It went straight from being inside the mother to being with a Mum Kavua. Yigida Amri Amarle, Ein Muksa L'chazi Shabbos. Some say Rav's answer was that Ein Muksa L'chazi Shabbos. So the Gemara said, Lema Mesayei Le. The Gemara says, oh, maybe our Brice is a Raya. V'shavin Shem Nolad Muma Mimosh Zemin Amuchan V'habachor Me'yikarach V'chazi Agav Yimei Yisrael Le'yidchile V'chazi L'chach Mishtarile. The same Raya. It's just if the answer was Ein Muksa L'chazi Shabbos, this is a Raya for, not a Raya against. Says Gemara, no Raya at all. Am Rabbi Vitim Rav Safra Gon Diasvi De'ani Hasam. That the Dayanim were there, so there's no Raya at all. Raya number two. Tashma Hayochel Ba Novim V'Hosir. A person was eating grapes during the week, and he had some leftovers. Velin Lagag. So he brought them up to the rooftop to dry. Lasses Men Smukin, to make raisins. Or Beteinim, he was eating figs. V'Hosir, he had some leftovers. Velin Lagag, Lasses Men Grogros. So he went to go make dry figs. Lo Yochel Men, you're not allowed to eat them on Shabbos, because they're Mukta Ad She Yasmin Mimod Yom, unless you designate them for Achila already before Shabbos starts. V'chein Atamotzi Ba'ar Parsikin U'Bachavushin V'Shar Kol Minei Peres. And the same is true when it comes to all other Peres. So, hey, Chidani, what's the case? If the ra'ui la'achil, they already dried lamali azmana, why do you need to designate them? You see that they're dry. Idolo chazu, if they hadn't dried yet, kiasmu l'may havi, then they're not edible, so it doesn't help to be mazmin them. Maybe you can say you're not sure if they're dried or not. That if they've already dried and you just don't know, it's going to be mutter to eat it. Elo lav, it must be the chazu v'idchu v'hadrichsu. Must be our case that they were roi mibod yom, and then in the middle of Shabbos they became not roi lachila, and then they became roi lachila again on Shabbos. So v'yamertein muksa lamalu hazmana. But if you hold that there's no such thing as muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, why do you only eat them if you're masmin them? But if you're not masmin them, you're not allowed to eat them. Elamai. So what do you want to say? Yesh muksa. Well, then kiasmin l'may havi. If there's yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, being masmin them shouldn't help. So lo tzricha di ichsu velo ichsu. Must be that they dried mibod yom, but not fully. Some people might eat it, others might not be comfortable eating it. So asmin gali daite, if you're masminit mibod yom, so you're megaladas, that you're among those people who would eat it and it's not muktza, lo asmin, if you didn't designate mibod yom, lo gali daite, then you have not been megaladas that you're among those that would eat it, and therefore it would be muktza in that case. So we have one more raya to bring, but we'll begin with Rabbi Zeira's raya tomorrow. Have a great day.